Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely. Fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions from December 7th.
Good morning and welcome to Battlefield Expressions. Hi, my name is Rob Burrows. I am a former Senior Chief Petty Officer, United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq. And I am the host of this brand new show, Battlefield Expressions, debuting today, which is December 7th, the 78th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Just about 1 hour ago, 78 years ago, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And we'll be discussing that this morning. Our show will be dedicated to our World War II veterans and to those who served during that time frame. Both my mother and my father served during that time frame. Dad was a World War II gunner's mate on a Liberty ship, the SS President Adams throughout the South Pacific, taking Marines into the shores and bringing supplies and wounded personnel back out. And my mother served for the United States Navy at Rough and Ready Island, Treasure Island, during World War II, and they refitted the ships, and she was a secretary for a Navy officer during that time frame, before my parents had met. And they became World War II married couple. She was a war bride, and they met at Treasure Island after the war was over. They had pen pals through the entire time. And so we'll be talking about our World War II veterans, our greatest generation, and we'll be talking about the men and women served. We'll also be talking to Tom and Debbie Johnson with Honor Flight here in Northern California. I was had the great opportunity of working with them for multiple years as we took World War II veterans back to see the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions this morning, and it's a great opportunity for me to be able to have this program and to be able to say thank you to all of our veterans who have served. Like I said, this program will be honoring our veterans and talking to veterans and family members about veterans issues, about PTSD. We want veterans to be able to call in and talk. It doesn't matter what area. Good morning and welcome to Battlefield Expressions. Hi, my name is Rob Burrows. I am a former Senior Chief Petty Officer, United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq. And I am the host of this brand new show, Battlefield Expressions, debuting today, which is December 7th, the 78th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Just about 1 hour ago, 78 years ago, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And we'll be discussing that this morning. Our show will be dedicated to our World War II veterans and to those who served during that time frame. Both my mother and my father served during that time frame. Dad was a World War II gunner's mate on a Liberty ship, the SS President Adams, throughout the South Pacific. Taking Marines into the shores and bringing supplies and wounded personnel back out. And my mother served for the United States Navy at Rough and Ready Island, Treasure Island, during World War II, and they refitted the ships, and she was a secretary for a Navy officer during that time frame before my parents had met. And they became World War II married couple. She was a war bride, and they met at Treasure Island after the war was over. They had pen-palled through the entire time. And so we'll be talking about our World War II veterans, our greatest generation, and we'll be talking about the men and women served. We'll also be talking to Tom and Debbie Johnson with Honor Flight here in Northern California. I had the great opportunity of working with them for multiple years as we took World War II veterans back to see the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions this morning, and it's a great opportunity for me to be able to have this program and to be able to say thank you to all of our veterans who have served. Like I said, this program will be honoring our veterans and talking to veterans and family members about veterans issues, about PTSD. We want veterans to be able to call in and talk. It doesn't matter what era, what branch, what service. We want you to be able to call in and talk a little bit about what you'll be, where you served and what you did and what it meant to serve and honor your country. And also, we will have family members call in and talk about their loved ones who served our nation and help to support them while they were overseas and what it felt like to be a family member keeping the home fires burning while the veteran was serving, man or woman who was serving overseas, or even a child while your mom or dad or your uncle or aunt or your brother or sister was deployed during that time frame. And so a great opportunity. If you don't know, I am the director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, also the director for Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and Silver Star Widows and Veterans programs that we have here in Shasta County that also encompass our other local counties, Tehama County, Lassen, Trinity, and it's a great opportunity for us to be able to honor our veterans, our young and our old, here in our community. When I returned back from Iraq in 2008, I was the Northern California Honor Guard team leader for the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And between 2008 and 2013, I had the privilege and the honor to perform over 2,000 Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine, and other branch services throughout our Northern California area and also at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And so honoring those veterans and reading their stories and their epitaphs and talking with widows and family members after the services, we realized that there was a great need in our community to help for advocacy for our widows and for the families in our community. And so that was one of the reasons that we went ahead and we started Silver Star Widows and Veterans, to be able to honor them and to help them after their loved one has passed and to help make sure that that took place. Because there aren't a lot of places to go for those advocacy support, to be able to get information, ask questions. A lot of times the family members are confused because of the loss of the veteran. The wives are definitely, the widows or widowers are definitely confused because now they have a loss of a loved one that they have been with for many, many years. And so that makes it very difficult. They're in shock to be able to ask certain questions or to be able to understand certain answers. A lot of times we'll get daughters and moms or sons and moms or daughters and dads that will come in to the museum offices there in Anderson at 2110 North Street, and they'll ask questions about the family member, what benefits are available to the seniors. And so it's our privilege to be able to offer those items to them. When the museum was out at the Reading Airport there at 3611 Meadowview Drive, We had opened those doors in 2009. Iraq was still going strong. Afghanistan was really going strong during that time frame. and we had a lot of parents come to the museum there and ask questions. Look, my son or daughter just got back from Iraq, or they just came back from Afghanistan, and they're not engaging. They're kind of hiding by themselves. They're not getting a job. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. Normal things that normal people would do, except that if you're a veteran coming back from a combat zone. And if you're a veteran coming back from a combat zone, you are inundated with what we call in the military is called an op tempo. Your operational tempo is something that you thrive on every single day, 24/7. And that op tempo is what drives you. It drives what your daily duty is. It drives what your particular job is, whether you're on the front lines or you're not on the front lines, whether you're support team or you're not support team. And most of the time when you're in the combat zone, your days are 24 hours. Sometimes they're 36 hours. They're definitely 12 hours on, 12 hours off. And that does not include the command stress that goes along with that, especially if there's a lot of enemy action, dealing with the loss of life, dealing with the tension from the command, whether you be in the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, Air Force, any of the other branches that are there, serve there. The Coast Guard was there. They were on the rivers. They were on Lake Haditha. They were all over. And so it's so important for us to be able to put together that Homeward Bound program, an established nonprofit to help military personnel post 9/11 coming back from the global war on terror with Iraq and Afghanistan. And so Homeward Bound has been a program we put together in 2013, and we have been going strong with it ever since. We're a small organization, but we do great things. And so through that program, we've been able to help veterans coming back from the war zone to be able to get jobs, to be able to get therapy, to be able to lead them to individuals in the community to help them as they move forward. We've been able to help them with emergency services, such as taking care of them with when they come back, sometimes they don't get that job right away, and they'll fall behind on a car payment, or they'll fall behind on their electricity or any of those other services like that. They'll come in and they'll need groceries or gas money because they're trying to go get a job, or they need some type of information or even clothing to be able to go out and get that job. And so with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, it's just been a great opportunity for veterans in need to come to us, especially the younger ones, because there's no services up here in Northern California. And so that's why it was so imperative for us to start this nonprofit under the umbrella of the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And so myself, being an Iraqi veteran, my son served in the Marine Corps. Right after I came back from Iraq, he joined the Marines and served in Fallujah. I served in Fallujah my second tour. We ran convoys out of there in 2006 and 2007. And during that time frame, we performed my convoy team. I was the leader of 25 men, 7 gun trucks, and we ran convoys all over Iraq. We were stationed central Iraq in Fallujah, and we traveled all throughout the Al Anbar province. We were attached to the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, and we supported Marines. CBs supported Marines. If the Marines need it, the CBs delivered it. We built it, we hauled it, we installed it, and the Marines had it. And so it was part of the Navy Marine Corps team. And what a great opportunity to be able to be there and to do our job. The motto for the Navy CBs is, with compassion for others, we build. We fight for freedom with peace. And so the CBs go into a combat zone or war zone with a whole different mindset than other branches of the service. And we go in there to build, we go in there to support, and we go in there to make sure that our job is done 100% and that those we are serving and working with are supported 150% to make sure that we are all successful in the jobs that we've been given. Like I said, I served in Fallujah. A year and a half later, my son served in the Marine Corps in Fallujah, and we literally walked the same streets within 2 years of each other in Fallujah. And so not very many father-son teams who serve in the military get an opportunity to say that they have that claim. And so when my son and I get together, he talks about his services. He talks about where he was in Fallujah. He talks about the things that happened to him, his experiences, his involvement with his unit and the enemy. And what a great opportunity it is for me to be an ear for him so that he has an opportunity to share those experiences and not let that PTSD overtake him. At one time, he had a very difficult time, and I was able to step in along with my family, my wife, and help him through those difficult times so he didn't fall through the cracks. And it's so important. You know, they say, you hear all the time that we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide and to loss of life. And that's after they come home from fighting for our country and for the freedom, for that sacrifice. And it is very true. 24 personnel out of his unit. He was with the 17 out of 29 POMs. 24 personnel within the first 3 years after he returned from Iraq committed suicide. 24 personnel out of that combat unit committed suicide. One manner or another, they gave their lives at home. They took their lives because they didn't have that camaraderie. They didn't have that support. They didn't feel that their value was there after they came back home. And when you're serving your nation and you're part of the cog of a great machine that's fighting for freedom around the world, and you're part of a team of men or women, and they cover your back and you cover theirs, and you work with them 24/7 for months on end, sometimes years, that camaraderie, that brotherhood, that sisterhood, it becomes ingrained. And it is so important for that to continue on after they come home. But many times they come back home and they are by themselves, and they don't have that opportunity to connect. And we're in a society right now, as you know, that where we don't meet and talk face-to-face anymore. Everybody texts. Everybody calls on the – they don't even call on the phone. They just text, and sometimes there's an email. And so we'll continue this in just a minute. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Battlefield Expressions.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here, and we'll deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions from December 7th.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and today is December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, the 78th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor with the Japanese. And as we move forward through the program, we'll be talking about World War II and Pearl Harbor and the bombing of Pearl Harbor with the Japanese. And so you are listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. It's your talk radio. And Battlefield Expressions is the new veterans program to be able to talk to veterans and family members in our community, and to be able to go ahead and let them know different issues that are going on, have them call in, be able to talk about things that are going on with their families, their veterans, and the veterans themselves who will be able to call in also to be able to do that. We probably won't get any call-ins today because we're working on a World War II thing and making that happen. If you didn't get a chance to hear us in the first segment, we are talking about Iraq and Homeward Bound and taking care of veterans coming back from the global war on terror. And I was just talking about where I served in Fallujah, Iraq with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Forces. And I came home after doing 177 combat missions there outside the wire. And my son returned with the 1st MAF 17 out of 29 stumps, 29 palms in Southern California Marine Corps Base. and he served during that same time frame. They closed down Camp Fallujah and were there at Bahariya, which is a camp outside of Fallujah. The camp for Fallujah was given back to the Iraqi army, and they took that back over after we had been there since 2003. And so it was a pretty hellacious time during that time frame. Ramadan is in September of 06, and they say, oh, it's going to be a real easy Ramadan. You're not going to have a lot of issues, not a lot of hassles. Well, we got in the country at the end of July 2006, and our CB unit, construction battalion, and between the first part of August and Christmas of 2006, we witnessed over 300 IED and enemy detonations during that time frame on the road when we were traveling doing convoys. And so if you're not familiar with a convoy, you think it's a couple of trucks, a couple of semi-trucks. I have 7 gun trucks, and we scattered them throughout our convoys. And our convoys would be between 80 and 110 semi-trucks long. And if you're not familiar with 110 semi-trucks long, you should be in L.A. and stuck in traffic. That's how long our convoys were. It would take 45 minutes from the time our first truck left the wire at Fallujah till our last vehicle left the wire at Fallujah. And we would be stretched between 6 and 8 miles long. And it was my responsibility with my team to make sure that we protected and we took care of every one of those semi-trucks that were carrying logistics to a Marine Corps facility somewhere across the Al Anbar province. And it was a great responsibility for us to do that. We were forward located from our command. Our command was at Al-Assad, which is southwestern Iraq, and we were out of Fallujah, and which is more central Iraq. We were about 20 miles from Baghdad. And so we were in and out of Baghdad all the time and then all across the Al Anbar province with our convoys. But if we didn't get those items there, if we didn't get those semi-trucks to the locations they were going, Marines didn't eat, they didn't have bullets, they didn't have medical supplies, they didn't have toilet paper and water, which were critical. They didn't have what's called a four-hole burnout, which is a wooden toilet outhouse that the CBs built for the Marines, and we dropped them off everywhere we could where they were serving. So they had a little something. They weren't taking they weren't going to the bathroom in the desert sand. They were going to the bathroom in a place where they could at least sit down and be able to have some semblance of humanity. And so the little things count when you have nothing. And any veteran that has ever served or been out there like that knows exactly what that's like, to be out there in the middle of nowhere with nothing and trying to survive and keep your morale up. And so it was our job to make sure we were able to do that. One of the great things that we were able to do was, in the Marine Corps birthday of 2006, we got a special call from the Marine Corps, and the gunnery sergeant called me up and said, hey, I got a special duty for you. Guys are hauling just 14 trucks tonight. 14 trucks, that's it. So, okay, well, we'll go ahead and do it. It's scheduled outside of our normal missions. 14 trucks are easy after you do 100 trucks. And so we convoyed those trucks all the way from Baghdad all the way out to Al-Assad, which is the Marine Corps air facility out there. And then after we got there and came back to Fallujah, we were told that we had just hauled all of the beer and steak assets for the Marine Corps birthday of 2006 to all of the Marines that were out there in the Al Anbar province, because everything went from Al-Assad was deployed out to all the Marines at the FOBs, which is the forward operation bases, or the COPs, which were the combat outposts. And so it was a great opportunity for us to be able to make the Marine Corps birthday happen for all those Marines out there in the Al Anbar province in 2006. And once again, CBs can do, and we did. And I told the gunny, I said, it's a good thing we didn't know those trucks were full of beer, because they probably wouldn't have made it, or at least one of those trucks probably wouldn't have made it. We'd have hijacked one of them. And she goes, yep, that's why we didn't tell you. So great opportunity for the Navy Marine Corps team, CBs, working with the Marines to help make all that happen and to take care of that. And so we're going to be coming up on another break here in just a minute. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Homeward Bound and the services that we provide here in our community. This last Saturday, we had our Christmas for the Troops boxing event this last Saturday, and we boxed over 450 care packages for our military personnel serving around the world. And all day Thursday, I spent at the Cottonwood Post Office, and we shipped out 400-plus boxes. And kudos to the Cottonwood Post Office for stepping up and helping us. I was there for 4 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, shipping those boxes out, making sure all the labels were good, making sure all the boxes were addressed correctly. And those boxes right now are headed around the world. There's boxes headed to Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, to the Persian Gulf,
to several ships that are out, aircraft carriers that are out on the seas right now, protecting our freedom. And those care packages are sent with love from Northern California. The different kids in our community from different schools, Mentir out of Red Bluff, the 4-H organization out of Manton, Happy Valley Honor Students, Shasta County Education System donated 500 pounds of candy. The different school programs, the kids came together and they brought all the stuff together and they wrote letters, and all of those items were shipped out this last week. And so they are on their way. They will be there a week or two before Christmas, and they will, all those men and women who receive those boxes will know that they are loved and appreciated, that their freedom that they are serving for is not in vain. And it is a great morale booster when you receive a box overseas. And we sent multiple boxes to individuals, and they'll be able to be Santa Claus and hand those out to people in their units. And what a great opportunity it is for us to say thank you. When I was in Iraq and I received boxes from my team and from home or from strangers that we didn't know, and we opened up those boxes and we poured them out and we shared what we had with each other, and then things that we didn't use, we took out and we dropped them off at the Marine Corps COPS, which is the combat outposts. And a combat outpost is just basically, it's a big hole dug in the ground someplace. It's probably about 100 yards by 100 yards. It's bermed. They put concertina wire around it, and then the Marines live there until they're done with the duty in that area. A lot of the times they're there for presence and for patrols, and to be able to be there for quick QRF, quick response forces. And so we supported them and took them their supplies, and we would take them our extra candy and things that we got that we didn't use with our unit. So what a great opportunity it was to share with our brothers and sisters. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
This is Carl in the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash, located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions from December 7th.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. It is a new veterans program that we have here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR, your talk radio program. And I just want to do say thank you to Carl and Linda Bott for giving me the opportunity to be able to be here this morning and speak to you and talk to you about our veterans issues, especially today, December 7th. a day that will live in infamy, that we remember Pearl Harbor and our World War II veterans, our greatest generation. And what a great opportunity is to start our first program off on this great day as we honor those veterans who served and set a great example for all of us who have served since that time frame. And once again, I just want to be able to make sure that we have a sponsor for this program, and that is Keith Foster with Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, after storm cleanup, removal of waste left from transients. That's a big one these days. Tractors and services, tree removal, and right now storm removal. If you want more information from Foster's Brush Hog Service, the number is 440-9531. That's 440-9531. Local, out of Anderson. They take care of all of our North State here, Sahama County, Shasta County. They do a lot of stuff for City of Reading, City of Anderson, and good people. Once again, if you're looking for somebody that's honest and that'll work with you, cleaning up the messes, getting those trees that are knocked down or whatever else, it'd be Foster's Brush Hog Service. And that number again, 440-9531. Thank you, Keith, for helping to sponsor this program. We appreciate you helping to honor our veterans. His father served the United States Navy during Korea, and so part of his support for this program is in honor of his father, Navy veteran, Korean War. Now, this show is dedicated not only to the fighting men in World War II, but the strong women everywhere. And they were the glue that held America together, joining the armed services with bravery, mastering industrial jobs with aplomb, and keeping the home fires burning until their men came home. And that wasn't just the men. It was the women who served also as nurses and WACs and WAVES, served outside the United States that were there. Even the nurses that were captured at Corregidor when the Japanese took over the Philippine Islands there at Manila Bay. And so we had so many men and women who were serving during that time frame that we want to make sure we remember them. We don't want to forget this greatest generation. Americans were feeling pretty good about things in 1941, but the picture looked bleak for our friends in Europe. Great Britain was in mortal peril. There was a raging debate about how much we should help out, if at all, with the United States and the rest of the world. The view wasn't much better across the Pacific as the Japanese Empire planted its flags on the Asian mainland. But those problems seemed awfully far away to most Americans, and we felt pretty secure behind our two-ocean moat. Best of all, the grinding days of the Great Depression were behind us, and Americans were hopefully and smiling again. The Depression had seemed like a stalking animal that slowly but surely nibbled away at all of us, all of the men and women who were living during that time frame. And this is a contributing editor's page that I'm reading right now from Clancy Stock. He was a lieutenant in the United States Navy during World War II. The Depression had seemed like a stalking animal that slowly but surely nibbled away at all of us, but not World War II. It arrived on a Sunday afternoon. Bam. Now remember, Pearl Harbor is 6 hours ahead or 6 hours behind the Pacific coast. So it was 8 a.m. in Pearl Harbor, but it was already in the afternoon here in California during that time frame. Sure, Americans had been involved in wars before. We'd buried husbands and sons on foreign soil as we helped our friends overseas. We'd lost tens of thousands of our own Civil War, but we charged up San Juan Hill in a triumphant Spanish-American War. But for the first time in more than a century, a foreign power had attacked us. The unthinkable had happened. In an instant, the entire nation dropped its differences. Republicans or Democrats, Easterners, Westerners, men, women, Jew, Catholic, Protestant, rich or poor, city mouse or country mouse, we were in it together because we had been attacked as Americans. World War II was our war, uniting us as a nation like nothing before or since. There have been millions of words written about World War II. Historians and scholars are able to take long views and talk about it with different perspectives. But more than 10 million men and women served in some branch of military, including 300,000 women who volunteered to be WACs, WAVES, WASPs, SPARs, and women Marines during World War II. Some 3.5 million women reported to armament plants, helping to produce 300,000 aircraft, 71,000 naval ships, 5,500 cargo ships, 2.5 million trucks in 4 years. Nearly 1.5 million citizens volunteered to be air raid spotters and then never spotted a single hostile aircraft. Just 11 months after Pearl Harbor, the United States put troops ashore in North Africa An amazing accomplishment considering the United States Army was virtually non-existent and unequipped prior to December 7th, 1941. When it was all over, we had lost more than 300,000 of our fittest and finest young men. But that's just a number. Its full impact doesn't really hit you until you see one of the many cemeteries on foreign soil, with row after row of white markers in perfect alignment, almost as though the dead were standing one last inspection on a grassy parade ground. When I was in Manila in 2012, we went to the Manila National Cemetery there. Over 13 million men and women who served our nation are buried there, literally row upon row, walls with name after name of those who were lost at sea, those who were lost in air, those who were never recovered, but their names are there. And as I watched you there, it was very emotional to know that these men and women, all of the men who had sacrificed their lives in Okinawa and Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal and the Gilbert Islands and the Solomon Islands throughout the South Pacific, all of their bodies had been interned after the war, and they were taken to the Manila Cemetery. And all of those are there. It is solemn. It is a tribute to those who served. And I think one of the greatest problems that we have with these cemeteries being on foreign soil is that the men and women of our nation today do not have the opportunity to go and pay their respects and to see the sacrifice of these men and women, to see acres upon acres of men and women who gave their lives for our nation, for the world, for those who didn't have anyone to stand in their stead. They were there. They sacrificed their lives. They stood up when the calling came, and they went, and they served our nation. So how do we tell the story of a momentous event in any way or any other? Touch the lives of so many Americans who lived through it. War, like all life, is lived one person at a time. The only war you know is your own. An infantry man's war is quite unlike an airman's war. A nurse's war is not the same as one who fought in a submarine. Our war in Africa and Europe was nothing like our war in Pacific, or where even Guadalcanal was quite unlike Iwo Jima and Okinawa. Then there was a war experienced by the welders who turned out Victory cargo ships in just 17 days. Can you imagine building a cargo ship in 17 days? Building an ocean-going vessel in little over 2 weeks. There was the war lived by long rows of farmers, wives and widows and young mothers, retired men loading explosives into endless processions of bullets and bombs. And these wars weren't at all like the one endured by the mother with five sons in the service, especially when she soon had two gold stars hanging in the front window. The Red Cross volunteer who helped those in her hometown saw a different war from that was lived by the USO volunteer in Rome, and neither saw the war that the medical corpsman saw in the Philippine Islands. This show is about World War II, as seen and remembered by those who experienced it, unlike anything else that you've heard about before. We want to make sure that we talk about this, talk about each individual's experience and the opportunity to make sure that we do not remember this greatest generation. World War II forever changed those who were in it. For example, this lieutenant had rarely set foot outside the White House, the white side country of Illinois. He is universe extended from Chicago on the east to the Ames, a river there, Iowa on the west, and as far south as Springfield, Illinois. He says, I enlisted 6 weeks after Pearl Harbor and was discharged 4 years later, having seen most of the United States, plus chunks of Hawaii, and Itawak, Leyte, Luzon. And so that you don't understand, I never heard a shot fired in anger the whole time he was there. He was a lucky one. He ate his first Mexican food in San Antonio and his first seafood in Galveston. Saw my first oil wells and cotton fields also in Texas, and shared a tent with a black man in Oklahoma for several months. I learned a little Spanish, a little Tagalog in the Philippines, lived with men from Philadelphia and Charleston and Pittsburgh, Denver, plus small towns in Kansas, Nebraska, and Louisiana. I listened to each of these men passionately explain why his hometown was the garden spot of the earth. And so what a great opportunity it is when you serve with other individuals, doesn't matter when or where. You find out where they came from, what their homes are like, what their traditions are, and they share those with you. And that's how you become, you learn that camaraderie. That's how you learn to joke with them and tease them and whatever else, and that becomes a bond, and that bond is what helps you to make it through when the thick gets thicker and the thin disappears. And what a great opportunity it is always when you're working with that camaraderie with other men and women, and you start to bond together and become one as a unit, one as a team of individuals who serve. You think alike, you speak alike, you work alike, you fight alike. And that's why it's so important when they come back home that we have opportunities for them to share and move on with their PTSD, because that's one of the issues that they have, separation anxiety. We'll be right back.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The McConnell Foundation wishes all active military, their families, and our local veterans who have served happy holidays. This is Shannon Phillips, Vice President of Operations for the McConnell Foundation. This time of year, Americans are serving our nation in places far from home, as they have every holiday season in our country's history. Let's remember as a community the sacrifices our men and women in uniform have made and will continue to make. The McConnell Foundation salutes our active duty and veterans by wishing you happy holidays.
Experience what it's like to be an archaeologist, biologist, or astromathematician in Turtle Bay's Mystery of the Mayan Medallion on display September 28th through January 12th. Delve into science, language, history, and mathematics in this hands-on immersive treasure hunt of an exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have your dad's dimples, your mom's curly hair? What makes us, us? Explore genomic science in Turtle Bay's newest expedition, Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, on display September 21st through January 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product, and accessories include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions from December 7th.
When Britain is in danger, when trouble's in the air, we all forget our squabbles, its trespassers beware. The nation
good morning.
Is united when danger
you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We're talk radio, and we are focusing on Pearl Harbor this morning. Today is December 7th. 78 years ago, the attack from the Japanese on Pearl Harbor on the United States took place. And so this segment is brought to you by Foster's Brush Hog Service. Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and operated and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, after-storm cleanup. waste removal and waste removal from transients. And they have multiple tractor services, and they can do a lot of weed eating and things like that for you. Right now is the great time to do it, to get that stuff out so you can get all your stuff taken care of and not have to worry about fires breaking out or anything else before the ground gets too muddy and you can't get out there to get services taken care of. If you want more information from Foster's Brush Hog Service, it's 440-9531. That's 440-9531. Keith Foster and his crew, they do a great job just for you. Okay, so we are back taking care of some of our Pearl Harbor things, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about another segment for World War II, and then we're going to listen to President Roosevelt's speech about what took place that morning. We're going to bring back some history. In the way that history is being told today, you'd think that most everyone knew that we were on the brink of war with Japan. Nothing could be further from the truth. Things were starting to feel normal again after the Americans in the post-depression year of 1941. People were able to move back into homes of their own, buy cars, enjoy a decent diet, wear new clothes, make plans for the future. Then it happened. Pearl Harbor, the day that will live in infamy. If you were alive on December 7th, 1941, you can never forget exactly where you were, what you were doing, who you were with at the moment you heard the news of the bombing. I was studying in my college room. The radio was on, and it was quiet, tranquil Sunday morning. And then the announcement broke in. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor. I still get a chill when I hear the rebroadcast of that announcement. First question, is this another Orson Welles War of the Worlds hoax? Second question, where in the dickens was Pearl Harbor? I'd never even heard of it. Word spread throughout the house where I lived with several other students. Soon a dozen bewildered young men were clustered around the radio, pondering what it all meant. There had been talk for months about whether or not the U.S. should become more involved in the war in Europe, and arguments ran strongly on both sides. With our attention focused on Europe, somehow the thought of an attack on us had never occurred, and certainly not an attack by the Japanese. For those in Hawaii, the reality of war was painfully clear. Their pleasant Sunday morning was shattered by the worst single military pounding in U.S. military history. But for most other Americans, the real truth didn't dawn until December 8th, when President Roosevelt spelled it out. We were at war. People across the land clustered around their radios. When the president ended his brief speech, all I can remember is the total silence as we tried to sort out what the news meant to us in our own lives. It would be up to us. One thing was clear enough. As young men in our late teens and early 20s, this for sure was going to be our war. What we knew about the war was what we had heard from our dads and others their age who served during World War I. We'd heard the stories of Verdun, the Meuse-Argonne, poison gas in filthy, muddy trenches, daring pilots dogfighting in the clear blue French air. But that was history, the stuff of fiction and legends. It had nothing to do with our lives. Now we were faced with making some history of our own. There would be the big decision ahead. Wait to be drafted or enlist. Become a sailor? I couldn't swim. Join the army? Dad's experience didn't sound like anything I wanted to repeat. Be an airman? I'd never been higher than a hero. But it sounded exciting to me. So we stood together, each overwhelmed with new thoughts, brave thoughts, scared thoughts. In just 24 hours, our lives had been thrown into turmoil. Yes, this one was going to be our war. There was a lot to think about.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us.
The USS Tangier was the first ship in Pearl Harbor to open fire on attacking Japanese planes. Bob Monroe, a 19-year-old seaman, second class, was aboard the Tangier that day. Bob is believed to be the man who fired the first shots in defense of Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. The evening after the attack, he wrote his account. Recently, he shared these historic words so they might be remembered. Sunday morning at 7:50, I was reading when I heard a long, powerful dive from the air. I didn't think much of it because nearly every day we heard our Navy planes taking practice dives. When the first dive was followed by two more, I took notice. Suddenly, I heard a tremendous explosion. I ran to the captain's cabin and yelled, "Captain, it's an air raid. Man your gun," he yelled back on the run. I scrambled on the starboard hatch to a terrible sight. Two torpedo bombers dropped what looked like long silver fish, and those torpedoes ran smack into the side of the battleship USS Utah, moored right behind us. I ran to my 50 caliber machine gun and yanked the cover off. I looked up to see the Utah on her side, sinking fast, and the men sliding over the side, swimming to shore. The first raid had come and gone, and I hadn't even had time to put on my helmet or my life jacket. I put them on, cleaned and oiled my gun, and got ready for the next attack, as it was only minutes away. At about 8:19, out of the clouds, smoke came, a bunch of planes straight down, and they were moving. I couldn't count them all because I was so busy shooting. The planes laid all straight for the battle wagons. The USS Arizona was blown sky high. It burned all day, and is still burning as I'm writing this. Plenty of planes dove straight for the Tangier. I know I hit several of them, but not enough to bring them all down. Soon, six or seven more dove at us. When they got within 1,500 feet, they peeled off, some going for the aft part of the ship, some forward, one or two straight at me, amidship. Gunner Selby was screaming his lungs out to open fire. I waited for the planes to get a little closer. Then I opened up. I followed my tracer straight into the nose of the plane, and my heart was in my mouth for fear I would open up on me before I could get them. His engine started to smoke and then burst into flames, and I realized I had gotten my first plane. At 9:35, we heard 30 or 40 planes high overhead, but because of the smoke from burning Arizona, we couldn't tell whether they were ours or not. They weren't. Two dive bombers broke out of the smoke, out of range. The next second, two bombs hit the water next to the ship. The aircraft had only split second to aim, and then if it had not been for the smoke from the Arizona, I wouldn't be here to write this all down today. That was the last direct run, our ship. And with the destruction around us, it was really a miracle that the Tangier survived that day. We had never had the opportunity to operate the ship's guns before that day, except in test firing. Afterward, the captain sent up a word to all hands. You are good enough for my money. As you listen to the accounts of the military personnel who served that day and those who ran to their guns and fought and those who helped the survivors pulled them out of the water, as we come back after this next break, we're going to talk to some individuals that we have here, Tom and Debbie Johnson, who helped us to put together a program for Honor Flight Northern California, where we were able to take World War II veterans back to see the World War II Memorial. And what a great privilege and honor it was for me to be part of that team, to be able to take these men and women back and to walk them through that memorial and to listen to their stories and to shake their hands and to say thank you to them. To those who served in the South Pacific and in Europe and in North Africa and served in the jungles around the world and served in the air and the air combat against the Germans and the Japanese. And what a great opportunity it was to meet these individuals and to listen to their stories. A chapter in our American life that is now gone or almost gone and very shortly will be gone. This greatest generation, these men and women who set the world on fire in the preservation of freedom for all of us that we have today and set the example of courage and honor and commitment to a way of life and for us to be able to make sure that we could continue on as we have. Today we remember them. Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1941.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Anti-Semitic assaults occurring during Hanukkah.
As New York City's mayor met with Jewish leaders in Crown Heights, detectives were arresting a woman on hate crime charges for slapping three female victims in the face and head.
During the interrogation, she made statements that she committed this crime because she thought that they were Jewish.
Chief of Detectives Rodney Harrison says it's not an isolated case.
We've noticed eight hate crimes that are alarming to us.
Monday, a man wearing a yarmulke was attacked and kicked in Manhattan, and two boys were accosted by a group of attackers.
And that is correspondent Jackie Quinn. A truck bomb exploding at a busy security checkpoint in Somalia's capital this morning, killing at least 79 people, including many students. Officials are blaming the Al-Shabaab terrorist group. Meanwhile, New York City police say there are no credible threats so far, but security will be tight.
Thousands of police officers, 175 blocker vehicles, heavy weapons teams, bomb-sniffing dogs, radiation detectors, drones, helicopters, and even boats. NYPD Chief of Intelligence and Counterterrorism, John Miller.
Times Square is probably going to be the safest place on the planet Earth on New Year's Eve, because nobody else puts that kind of effort into an event like this.
Police Commissioner Dermot Shea.
We currently have no specific credible threats directed toward any of our events. Still, I'm going to ask that members of the public, as always, remain vigilant.
Julie Walker, New York.
The remains of six people have been found after a helicopter on a tour of one of the most rugged and remote coastlines in Hawaii crashed at the top of a mountain on the island of Kauai. Officials said yesterday there is no indication that anyone on board survived. More on these stories from townhall.com.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm. phones, mm-hmm. life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds,
mm-hmm.
for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou.
He's like you. 800-555-2085. That's 800-555-2085.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-555-2085.
Write it down.
800-555-2085.
British regulators are launching a full-scale investigation of Amazon's plan to purchase a stake in Deliveroo to determine if it's going to dampen competition.
The Competition and Markets Authority says that the two companies failed to provide evidence addressing concerns that Amazon's investment in the British food delivery platform could be bad for customers, restaurants, and grocers. The agency has been investigating the deal since Amazon announced a planned $590 million investment in London-based Deliveroo in May. Its in-depth review could take up to 6 months, and it's likely to slow the investment plan. Amazon failed to get its own restaurant delivery business going in the UK, shutting it down for good late last year.
That's correspondent Zaria Shackley, a close advisor to Boeing's ousted CEO, will also be leaving the company. Mike Luttig was Boeing's general counsel from 2006 until this spring. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. China says its Beidou navigation satellite system that emulates the U.S. global positioning system will be completed with the launch of its final two satellites.
The project director says the core of the positioning system was completed this month, with the launching of additional satellites bringing its total constellation to 24. That was up from 19 the year before, making it one of rising space power China's most complex projects. The project director described the system as having high performance indicators, new technology systems, high localization, mass production networking, and a wide range of users.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. A U.S. astronaut has set a record for the longest single space flight by a woman. NASA officials say Christina Koch today broke the 288-day record set by former space station commander Peggy Whitson. The 40-year-old electrical engineer from Montana has been in space since March 15th. More of these stories at townhall.com.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions from December 7th.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hi, my name is Rob Burrows, retired senior chief, United States Navy Seabees. And this is our first Battlefield Expressions program. It's brought to you by Brush, Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and operated, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, after storm cleanup, removal of waste from transients, which is a new one. And they have all kinds of tractor services and services to be able to take care of whatever your needs are. Fallen trees, brush, you name it. Now is a great time to get that cleaned up and get it burned. If you'd like more information, you can contact Keith Foster with Foster's Brush Hog Service at 440-9531. That's 440-9531. And his father is a Korean War veteran, United States Navy, and so he is helping to sponsor this program to honor his father. Thank you, Keith, and your family, and thank you to your father for his service to our country. We have our guests with us now. We have Tom and Debbie Johnson. And so we'll be talking a little bit about our AMVETS program that we have here in our Redding, Northern California area, and where that has led us to honor our World War II veterans. And so good morning, Tom. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Rob.
Thank you for being here this morning. It's a great opportunity to be able to talk about the AMVETS and the programs that we support through that and how we honor all of our veterans.
Absolutely. It's a 24/7 job for us.
It doesn't go away.
It never goes away.
So tell us a little about your involvement with the AMVETS. Tom Johnson is also the vice president for the board of directors for the Northern California Veterans Museum. Debbie is the secretary for the Veterans Museum. And so great opportunity to have these individuals here to talk about the services that we provide to our veterans in this community.
Very good, yeah. A lot of people don't even know AMVETS exists. We're more do it than tell everybody how we did it.
Kind of like the museum.
Yeah, kind of. AMVETS has been around since 1944. They were formed by returning veterans who were coming home, and the GI Bill had been put in place, and the government was supposed to be giving benefits to the GIs coming home. And so a bunch of guys got together because they were having trouble getting the benefits. So they started to form a got together to make sure those veterans were getting their benefits, and they ended up forming an organization. Actually, they formed 18 organizations, and they decided to get together, and it all became one organization, which was AMVETS, I think in December of 1944.
So AMVETS is a national program that covers the entire United States, and it covers all veterans, and they don't have to serve in a foreign battle. If they wore the uniform, they can be a part of AMVETS.
AMVETS accepts all active and
honorably
discharged veterans, everybody.
All branches.
All branches, even the National Guard and Reserves.
And there's not a lot of the other branches that do take care of the National Guard and Reserves,
right,
so it's a great opportunity for them to be involved also.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they and here locally, we like all, most of the organizations, they're run by usually a local post, and then they'll have a department at the state level. And here locally, in 1996, which happens to be the number of our post, Leo P. Simon, he formed a member down south at another post, and he came up here to Redding and formed 1996, and
along with some other great heroes.
Right. We have actually the list of organizing members is quite prevalent around here. We noticed a lot of the names, we've seen them elsewhere in town doing other things for veterans.
It seems to be a certain group of people that step up to the plate and are involved in all the different organizations.
Absolutely,
Veterans helping to take care of veterans. And some veterans get involved and some veterans never get involved. And who knows why or whatever. But we always say thank you to those who step up and help to lead in our community and to help make that involvement. And Leo P. Simon was a Navy, World War II Navy veteran,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, he was, yes.
And so what a great opportunity.
He was Army.
Was he Army? Okay.
He was Army.
I know you're Navy,
but and I'm Army, but well, Leo was Army.
Well, I had the opportunity to meet him at the meetings on multiple occasions, and, you know, he was a hard charger. He's just one of those guys that just went until his Energizer battery finally gave out.
Absolutely, yeah.
But he was a really unique individual.
He was my mentor in AMVETS. I joined AMVETS in 2004, and at that time he had been all kinds of different things, all the way up to the national level. And he was the national level, a District 6 commander, which is a national post or office. And, of course, he had been the Northern Area Commander. He'd been the local commander. And at the time when I joined, he was the adjutant for post-1996. The adjutant is a fancy word for secretary.
Right.
I just happened to be the adjutant at this time. But he was my mentor, and I worked my way up through the ranks. I went through
pretty fast.
Yeah, quite fast. By 2007, I was the commander of the local post, and that's when I realized how involved everything was. We had so many programs going on. I had to retire. I retired being a plumber, and in 2004, that's when I joined AMVETS, and just
one thing after the next,
doing it ever since. In 2008, I was elected Northern Area Commander, which put me in charge of 22 AMVET posts, but it also, I had to hold meetings, quarterly meetings. And one of those meetings was quite involved.
We
had it at Yountville.
And if you're not familiar, Yountville is where the first California Veterans Home is located.
Right. Oldest one in the country.
And I will digress just a little bit because Leo Simon in 2007, that's why I was going with 2007, went to North Carolina to a national AMVETS convention. And at that convention, Earl Morris made a presentation to the body on Honor Flight. He had just established Honor Flight Network out of Ohio. Well, Leo brought back an application for an Honor Flight and gave it to Deb for her dad, who was a World War II veteran and living with us at the time. And within 2 weeks after she submitted the application, Earl Morris called her personally and set up to take her dad and her to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials. And
the rest is history.
This is the big history because he was one of those guys who never talked about having been a World War II veteran. He always thought he was a clerk. He happened to be in the Philippines, and he happened to be MacArthur's clerk, but he still didn't consider himself a veteran because a lot of persons thought that in order to be a veteran, you had to be a combat veteran.
Right.
And well, after he went on the honor flight and found out that it takes 20 non-combat veterans to support that one combat veteran out
there. That's right.
he come back a changed person.
A little more proud and standing taller.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that the program was so important. And that's one of the reasons that it's so important for us to honor these World War II veterans, especially as your post is named after Leo P. Simon, World War II veteran.
That happened and, a little later in 2010. We changed the name.
Was that before he passed away?
He
knew that honor that he was given before he passed. Yep. And he was quite a dancer also.
Oh my gosh. All around the town. Several towns.
Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break here in just a second. And we are talking with Tom and Debbie Johnson, talking about the American AMVETS program, a program that honors all of our veterans, a program that you don't have to be a combat veteran or a VFW veteran to be involved with. And the VFW takes those who serve overseas, but AMVETS takes all of our military personnel, Reserve Guard, active duty, and retired. Mm-hmm. And we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expression show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions from December 7th.
I'd fly like a birdie in the sky with a tra-la-la-la and the bee-bee-bee.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is a new veterans program that we're starting out here at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. My name is Rob Burrows, and today is December 7th, and we are remembering December 7th, 1941, our World War II veterans, our greatest generation, and the men and women who set the stage for the last 75 years for our nation. And as we come up on these next couple of years, we will be losing the very end of all of our World War II veterans, a kind of a great tragedy to a generation that brought this nation so far and the entire world with the freedom of fighting the Nazism and socialism and Japanese imperialism across the world in 1941 through 1946. And to honor all those men and women, entire nation who stepped up to the plate, who created the aircraft and the ships that the men and women fought on across the world to help preserve that freedom and to get rid of that tyranny. This portion of the program is brought to you by Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and operated, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, and storm cleanup. Right now is a good time to give them a call, and their phone number is 440-9531. That's 440-9531. Foster's Brush Hog Cleanup. Give Keith a call. They'll get you a great price. They'll get you a great deal, and they'll do a good job for you. So thank you to Keith for honoring his
father served in the United States Navy and a Korean War veteran. This morning we are remembering World War II. We're talking about our greatest generation. And we're getting ready to talk about the World War II Memorial, a program that we've been working with Honor Flight through ANVETS with Tom and Debbie Johnson that are here. And we're going to play a song for you. It's called Old Army Hat by Bill Anderson, talking about the World War II Memorial. And as soon as we're done with this song, we'll come back out and we'll talk about the veterans that we were able to serve and take care of through Honor Flight.
He came home to Tennessee, a young man at the end of 45. Only one of seven men platoon that made it back alive. He must have seen some tough times, but he never talked too much about all that. Put his pictures and his memories in the cedar chest. Everything but his old army hat. By the time I graduated, the winds of change had blown across our land. They were burning flags and draft cards when they bothered to take some kind of stand. And we used to laugh at Grandpa like he was some old relic from the past. 'Cause he never left the house unless he was wearing that funny looking worn out army hat. Every eye was on him anytime that he went anywhere. They whispered and they pointed, but you could tell that Grandpa didn't care. Who gave everything, the least that I can do is keep on wearing this old army hat. He called me up one morning, said he'd seen it on the news on his TV. They've opened up a monument to World War II in Washington, D.C. I ain't getting any younger, and I wish someone would take me to see that. I couldn't help but think they're gonna laugh at you up there if you show up in that silly army hat. Two strangers both saluted as Grandpa walked up to the monument. One said, "Thank you, soldier, for a job well done." The other said, "Amen." And a young boy said, "Sir, my daddy went to war and never made it back. Would you take a picture standing here beside me and maybe let me wear your army hat?" Every eye was on him, and there was not a dry one in the crowd. They whispered and they pointed, and Grandpa stood up extra tall and proud. He said, "Son, just keep it," when the young boy tried his best to give it back. "You're a brave little soldier, son, and every soldier needs his very own authentic army hat. For your daddy who gave everything, the least that I can do is pass on this old worn out army hat."
If you're listening to the radio right now, this is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And we are talking about our World War II generation this morning, the attack on December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, and about those men and women who served during our World War II era and generation. Old Army Hat is a song that honors our men and women at the World War II Memorial. And I can remember before my dad passed away, he was a World War II veteran, a gunner's mate on the Liberty ships. He passed away on August 12th of 2000. And in 1999, he said, you know what, they're building a memorial.
My dad sent money also.
I hope I'm around to see it. But he didn't live that long. He didn't get there. So when you came to me and we talked about Honor Flight, an opportunity to take World War II veterans back to see the World War II Memorial.
Yes, we did. and I'll do
my opportunity to say thank you to my dad to help other veterans.
Absolutely. It all started with AMVETS again here locally. If it wasn't for AMVETS, we'd have never got it going. But locally, we had adopted Honor Flight as one of our local programs, along with the cemetery. I mean, the museum at almost the same time. And but like I said earlier, Deb got to take her dad, and while she was back in D.C., she got to talk to Susan. One of the other representatives from Honor Flight.
Susan Barr.
And when I had that first meeting as Northern Area Commander, Susan Barr was one of our guests. And she made the presentation about Honor Flight to our Northern Area commanders and district commanders that were at my meeting. And before the day was over, we had six people who wanted to form a board of directors, and Honor Flight Northern California was launched in, what was that? That was 2008, and it took us a year to get all the corporate stuff done and get all the stuff done that needed to be done, including raising enough money to do it, and I got to thank AMVETS for that. They financed both of our first two trips.
Thanks to Richard Hum, Colonel Hum.
Richard.
Yeah. He was one of our...
he was at Yountville.
Yes.
He lived at Yountville.
Yeah.
He was the AMVET representative at Yountville Veterans Home. And anyway, we were on our way. And in May of...
2009.
May of 2009, we took our first trip. And
I was with you on that.
You
first
were with
trip.
Us.
Yes,
yeah,
you were.
I was a plank owner on that first trip to Washington, D.C. Yeah. And what a learning curve that was.
Oh, my gosh. We learned a lot every time.
Well, when you are a guardian and you're taking care of 30 veterans, we're ancient veterans, older veterans.
Yeah.
Well, I say ancient. Well, I don't mean that in
a
negative manner.
I know.
But when you're taking strangers, older strangers that you don't know, and they're putting their faith in you as you're going to take care of them, and then you're hauling them from one coast to the other coast for 6 hours on the airplane, and you're caring for them with all the issues and things that they have to take care of with their health.
Right.
And then making sure they get to their hotel rooms and they're not lost, and to make sure that they're not scared because they're with strangers, and to be able to also talk to them and listen to their stories during that time frame. I mean, you really have to think outside the box when you're working with the elderly veterans like that.
Yeah.
And so, I apologize for saying ancient.
Well,
but as
it's a conglomeration of their knowledge.
Well, some of those, I think, what was our oldest veteran? 101?
Yeah, the one that we took through our
hub. So, at that time I was like 48 years old, so that was, 50 plus years older than me. So that's, even just being an older individual, that's still old,
I know.
So to be able to honor, to be able to take care of these individuals and take care of them. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, but what a great opportunity it was for you to be able to help me to be part of this program, Honor Flight Northern California, as we were able to do. How many trips did we take total?
27.
27. Deb took 27 trips. 20. We only took 26.
I missed one, but I think I did 25.
Well, yeah, I did 25. But, she had that first one with her dad. When she took her dad, he was the first honor flyer from west of the Rockies.
Maybe.
At the time, other than Arizona. There was a hub in Arizona at the time.
Harding.
Susan
And so what a great opportunity. We took veterans from all over our Northern California area, Shasta County, all the different counties and everything north of San Francisco. Well,
we were overwhelmed when we formed our hub, and Honor Flight Network realized we were going to do it. They sent us a list of people that had made application from California
and the
surrounding
West Coast
states, the West Coast.
We had Oregon, Washington.
We had a list. We had a list of 2,500 applications for our first flight.
Wow, that's a lot. Hey, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
All right.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Autumn means cooler weather and a whole new to-do list for homeowners. Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning offers high-quality power cleanings with video inspection on all chimney, dryer vent, and duct cleanings. Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning provides professional high-end service at a mid-range price. And as we enter the holiday season, we would like to give a special thank you to our veterans and active duty military for your dedicated service. Call Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning at 921-4237. That's 921-4237.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Well,
Good morning. You're back with Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And this morning is December 7th, and we are remembering our World War II generation, 1941, the attack on Pearl Harbor from the Japanese. And so this morning we have a caller. Good morning, Carl.
Hey, buddy. Hey, I just wanted to say welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And what a powerful show it was this morning. I guess maybe it's an appropriate time for you to start your show on December 7th. I've been listening to it. I think the in between walking around in the outside in the rain. And I'm really glad that you joined us. And a big shout out, of course, to Tom and Debbie Johnson. That, honor flight was so important to the North State, and they did such a great job. And you know what? It's a shame, as y'all are talking about it, is that it's just getting less every year from such wonderful people that gave so much.
You're right. Losing the greatest generation isn't just losing a greatest generation, Carl. It's losing our moms and dads. Your dad was a World War II veteran. I think your mom served during that time frame. Other individuals,
both my parents were World War II veterans.
That are our ages, they either served during World War II or Korea. I mean, Tom's dad was a Marine during the Korean War veteran, war era. And my mom and dad served during World War II, mom at home and dad abroad in the United States Navy. And so there are many people in our Northern California community and across the United States whose fathers, parents, uncles, brothers, grandparents served during that time frame to preserve the freedom that we have against the imperialism of Japan and the tyranny of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis.
It was. And like I said, what an appropriate time for you to start your program was on this day. Anyway, thanks a lot for being part of our family now, Rob. And for Tom and Debbie. Thank you so much for what you've done. Hi, hon. Thank you so much for this isn't just, the honor flight. You all have done so much for the veterans in the North State. I mean, I can't even begin to go through all the different things that you all have done to help, including this, including your tea today.
Yes, I'll be talking about that in a little bit.
Okay. Anyway, thanks a lot, and welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, Carl. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity to be here.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Hey, what a great opportunity once again it is for us. This is Battlefield Expressions. It's a new program to help honor our veterans here in Northern California. It's a local show. We're not doing any call-ins or talks today, but we will be having you call in and talk to us as we move forward with the other shows. Today we are spotlighting our World War II generation, December 7th, 1941, the opportunity to remember those who set the example for us in our nation and in our lives. And why it is still so important for us to honor these men and women, not just those that are gone, but those that are still alive with us. Tom, one of the gentlemen who was on national TV this morning, Pearl Harbor survivor, we had the opportunity and privilege to take him on honor flight.
Absolutely,
back to
Lou Contour. He's one of our honor flyees. Actually, early on, he went early in our group, and he's returned to Reading several times. He actually is a member of Leo P. Simon Post 1996. He's an AMVET, a life member, and we're really glad to have him. But when we took him, one of the things that we did while we were back in Washington, D.C., was the first night in, we passed the microphone around to all of those World War II veterans and let them tell their story. And that's when you realize that there wasn't any of them among them that weren't heroes. A lot of them thought they didn't do much, but some of the stories we got were absolutely, and I wish we would have recorded them all, but we didn't. But I have them in my heart.
Well, there's no doubt, because we were eyewitnesses to their stories when they talked to us on the plane, the flight to and from, especially how much they opened up after they went to the memorial.
Right.
And when we took them to the memorial, it wasn't just walking through the memorial. We took them to the Iwo Jima Memorial. We took them to the changing of the guard. We took them through the Lincoln Memorial, through that entire area, and it really gave them the opportunity to know that we were there to support them, that they could open up and talk to us and not feel ridiculed.
They could talk to us and not feel like it was a burden. They could talk to other individuals who served in the same area or time that they did.
That was what was remarkable.
All of a sudden, there was a camaraderie there that was 70 years old, and they didn't even know that they lived in the same community.
We had several people that veterans that we took that actually met other members of their unit at the World War II Memorial and hadn't seen them since they had been in the service. It was just absolutely amazing.
And we all are dropping on the ground crying.
Yeah, I don't think I made one flight without crying at least once.
I think that there's no way that you could be with those people and listen to their stories and talk with them without becoming emotional. Just no way.
Well, it was more than pushing wheelchairs and giving them this scope of our nation's capital. You were holding their hands. You were hugging. You were part of their heart that day. You had the immense honor within your brain. You knew what this was, but to see it unfold in such beautiful landscapes and honorable monuments and memorials in the nation's capital. I mean, it was so hard to get them there after 60 years to build the monument that it was just remarkable to see them and see them come to life with that spring in their step or dancing with somebody in their wheelchair. My gosh, when we had the folks there doing the Lindy and dancing around the fountain, they joined in every single time.
Look at the Lennon sisters, the Andrew sisters, and singing the songs out there on the memorial
area. The country came out to the memorial. If you have a chance to go to Washington, D.C., even if you don't get a chance to be part of an honor flight as a guardian, you should spend a few days and in the flying season, which is May to October, and you should go there and you should greet these folks that
on
are
Saturday
still
mornings.
Coming on
yeah,
Saturday mornings, yeah. Friday Saturday mornings, morning. Because they're still coming.
And they're coming from all the states, all across the United States.
The Vietnam veterans are coming and more. They're going to try and honor everybody.
The other hubs are still taken. Remember, we closed our hub down here because we had met our
mission.
When we first started, it was World War II veterans. In the meantime, while we were taking these folks doing our 26 trips, Deb and I were also going up and down California forming new hubs. In order to get rid of that 2,500 member list,
we had
to form other hubs throughout California, and we have them from San Diego all the way up through the valley. We have Kern County and the Bay Area still there.
Is San Diego still going?
Yeah, San Diego still going. So, yeah. Inland Empire,
Fresno.
San Luis Obispo.
I think Fresno still goes every now and then. But we have.
Yeah. No, Fred's turned it over to a new group, but they're still doing it.
Okay.
And so now
it's Bay Area Honor Flight.
Now they're doing the Korean War veterans.
Yeah.
Right.
There's still
and
a few
any,
World War II.
And any and World Vietnam War II veterans. Veteran that's still out there. Sometimes they've never heard of it. They may hear of it today because of this show. And they will say, well, I'm World War II, and I can get – you can still
we
go.
We can still get you there.
Right. And so how could we get them – how can we get that phone number for them? Do you have that
idea? I got phone numbers for – well, I
so
think
the
two we would be interested in would be
Bay Area Honor Flight. And one of our guardians, Nathan, he's still involved there.
Yep. We had one of our guardians that we trained. He ended up taking over the Bay Area group.
Being part of it, yeah.
Yes, and when I went with the Bay Area,
Nathan
and I were in charge of that.
Yes, Nathan and you.
We have the Central Valley Honor Flight, where they fly out of Fresno. And I guess I can put their phone number out there. Maybe somebody will want it. Scott and Linda Phillips are running it, and it's 559-299-9887. That's 559-299-9887. And that's the Fresno. And we also have one in the Bay Area Foundation. Carl Stewart, he's still in charge there. And his number is 408-925-1999. That's 408 925, I can't read this more, 1999.
That's okay. What we'll do is we'll give you the museum office phone number here in Anderson.
Yes, that'll work,
too. And you can
too.
Call the museum and leave a message, and we will get back to you with all the information that you need to. And so let me give you the number. If you want to call the museum office, it's 378-2280. That's 378-2280. Once again, 378-2280. If you have any questions about the Northern California Veterans Museum and you want to find out more information about Honor Flight here out of any of the hubs throughout the state of California, if you have a loved one that lives across the United States, there are hubs across the United States, and we can get you the information to that closest hub so that you can make sure that your veteran gets the opportunity to go back and to visit the World War II Memorial. And if you're a Korean War veteran and you have not gone back there, or if you're a Vietnam veteran and this is your opportunity to go see the Vietnam Wall, this is your opportunity to get a hold of these Honor Flight hubs, because now as we're reducing our World War II population, they're opening that up to the other eras, which is Korea and Vietnam.
And the most important part is it's free. You don't pay a thing.
Absolutely free for the veteran.
If you're the veteran, this is a gift to you through Honor Flight. And if you're a loved one that wants to go as a guardian, there's a fee and a cost for that. And you'll have to talk to the individual Honor Flight hubs to find out what that cost is, because they vary from hub to hub. But if you're the veteran, and this is your opportunity to go back and to see your memorial and to see because the Korean War Memorial is right there on between the World War II Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial. And it's a beautiful you get to see all of those memorials right there. So what a great opportunity to honor our veterans through this program. And it's still going strong through the other opportunities. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. Working from home as a freelancer, remote worker, or entrepreneur? Drop-In is a professional co-working shared office space designed to meet the needs of today's mobile worker. Drop-In has multiple workstations, conference rooms, video call booths, and lightning-fast, secure fiber Wi-Fi. Do you need space to work for just an hour or full-time? Hourly, daily, and monthly rates are available, and walk-ins are always welcome. Visit dropin.mobi for more information, or drop in and take a tour at 155 Lake Boulevard East next to Starbucks. Isn't it time you found your space?
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
This is a repeat broadcast of Battlefield Expressions from December 7th. He was a famous trumpet man from all Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is retired Senior Chief Rob Burrows, United States Navy Seabees. Two tours in Iraq, combat tours, and opportunity to be here to have this program this morning. We are talking with Tom and Debbie Johnson with AMVETS and with our Northern California Honor Flight, where we worked with our World War II veterans. Once again, this is December 7th, and we are remembering 1941, the day of infamy with the bombing of Japanese in the Pearl Harbor. And so I want to give you the call-in number here for the program. Once again, this is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Your talk radio. The calling number here is 605-4567. That's 605-4567. If you have a question concerning your World War II veteran or your Korean veteran or a Vietnam veteran in the Honor Flight program and you'd like more information, we'll be taking calls here for about the next 10 minutes. You have the opportunity to call in. And we invite you to call in as we go through the program every Saturday morning now from now on with Battlefield Expressions. And this morning is a special morning because it's not just Pearl Harbor Day. There's a special event that's going to be taking place at 1 o'clock here in town.
I'm having a Christmas tea, the AMVETS Ladies Auxiliary 1996. And it is in honor of this day. We are going to have a Pearl Harbor remembrance. But it was a good time to have a tea. And we raise money for our local programs here. Hospitalized Veterans is one of our activities that we do a couple of times a year. We like to visit folks, our veterans in the convalescent homes. A lot of times you go to the VA hospitals or the clinics and we don't realize that they're in the convalescent homes as well. So part of the money raised this afternoon at our little fundraiser and remembrance will be go towards buying shirts and socks and activities for those folks in the convalescent homes. And we invite you to come over. It starts at 1:30 to 3:30 at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street here in Reading. And we have very nice people with umbrellas. If you don't have one, they'll come out and help you get to the door. And please drive safely to get here and join us for – it's not a luncheon. It's not a dinner. It's just a nice afternoon tea.
And once again, this is being held at?
The Veterans Memorial Hall in Reading at 1605 Yuba Street.
So right downtown, just a couple blocks over from this location right here.
Yes, next to the post office.
And so Silver Star Widows and Veterans is a program through the Northern California Veterans Museum. We will be working with the AMVETS Auxiliary to help fund some of the socks and toiletries and things like that to help take care of these veterans that are in need that are not necessarily taken care of by the veterans home or things like that. And so once again, this is a great opportunity for us to help our senior veterans that are in need are of care and donations to them. Silver Star Widows and Veterans Program, once again, that's a program through the Northern California Veterans Museum to honor our elderly veterans that are in need. So Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services is at the bottom of the list for our young veterans coming back from the Global War on Terror. And Silver Star Widows and Veterans is a program to help those that are in their senior years that need that extra assistance. What a great opportunity for us to be able to help all of our veterans here in this community and to be able to make a difference. You know, veterans helping veterans. We go all over the world and we serve helping people we don't know. How important is it for us to come home and help people in our own communities that we do know? How important that is, especially those who have served and sacrificed. And for those that have the opportunity to say thank you in this manner, you don't know how great it is to be able to gift individuals through these programs and to see the gratitude and the thankfulness from these individuals.
That was one of the major things with our honor flights. Many of them World War II veterans. A lot of people didn't know that they had never been thanked either. You know, we saw all the ticker tape parade and everything that went on in New York City. Well, at that time, those guys were still out in theater. It took them sometimes 30 days to get home.
Or longer.
And longer. And so they just came home, got on the train, and went back to their farms or homes and whatever. They never got thanked either. And so when we took them to D.C. on the honor flights, and we got off the airplane and into the terminal, and there'd be 300, 400, 500 people clapping for him.
Oh, that was just it was a wonderful, emotional a time frame. Just to see the honor, especially there was Boy Scouts and there was kids groups.
Right,
they were there thanking them and shaking
many,
hands.
Many times, handing
flags out.
They would say, "It's I didn't realize anyone still cared."
Yep, I heard that.
Well, most of the time, you guys are in the front. I was in the back bringing the luggage. I was bringing the last wheelchair out.
Those CDs can do, right?
And we did.
And
that's
you
right.
Did.
We did. We were workhorses for the program. And, you know, I do it again in a heartbeat. What a great opportunity.
There's a verse
to give.
In the CB song you should sing today.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, today is the day.
Would you sing that?
I can sing. I got to make sure that I don't sing it right directly into the mic. We're the Seabees of the Navy. We can build and we can fight. We'll pave our way to victory and guard it day and night. And we promise to remember the 7th of December. We're the Seabees of the Navy. Beast of the Seven Seas.
All right.
Hey, and that's where the Seabees were
started.
We used
to sing that on our bus almost every time we took when we were returning to the hotel after the whole day of touring.
And when we passed the
Seabee Memorial. After we did the changing of the guard.
Right.
And, you know, that was always a privilege, too, to be able to thank them. And, you know, a lot of them remembered hearing that song during the time frame,
yes,
World
I
War
know
II.
They do. Yeah.
And what a great opportunity. Thanks for reminding me to sing it today. That was a song that I needed to learn or had to learn when I made Chief Petty Officer in the Navy, and especially in the Seabees. And I have used it many, many times to thank our veterans since then, especially every December 7th. And maybe that's one of the reasons that this means so much is that my entire career built around the Navy Seabees, 23 years, went back to the history of why the Seabees were created because of the invasion of the Japanese during World War II. The Seabees were created in June of 1942. And what the great opportunity for – we're a young branch of the military, of the Navy. And so, you know, the Seabees are always – they were always the senior enlisted. They were tradesmen that were brought in. And were given jobs in the United States Navy because they needed those building skills across the South Pacific and also into Europe at the beginning of the D-Day invasion. And so they were always older veterans. They always said, don't give a Seabee a bad time because his son may be a Marine. And that's exactly what it is. I was a Seabee for 23 years, and my son was a Marine. And he goes, Dad, I went to the Navy, the recruiter, to join the Navy, and they were out to lunch, and the Marines called me over, and I signed up with the Marines. I said, really? I said, okay, choose your rate, choose your fate. So he was a honorable Marine. He served for 4 years plus four with 1-7 out of 29 Palms. So very proud of my son that served in the Marine Corps. And everywhere I served was with the 1st Marines and the 2nd Marines all across Iraq and the Mediterranean and the Persian Gulf. And so once again today, December 7th, is the day that we've been remembering our World War II veterans, a great opportunity for us to step off of this radio program, Battlefield Expressions, that honors all of our veterans and to remember those who have served and gave their lives. And once again, we are talking about Honor Flight, where we served with Honor Flight Northern California and took World War II veterans back to see the World War II Memorial. If you want to call in, we've only got a couple of minutes left. It's 605-4567. 605-4567.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
The other thing is, if this has caused anyone to feel the need that they're getting overwhelmed at home or there's something happening in their lives that is not making them as happy as we would like them to be, please call. Please call and talk to your friends and your family if you are getting a little depressed this season.
That's right. Christmas is a tough time for everybody, but a lot of times it's worse for veterans who've served, especially when they're away from their units. And so we want to just remind you once again, Honor Flight Northern California, we don't have that here in our Shasta County area anymore. We're using the San Francisco hub and some of the other hubs. And it is for all of our senior veterans, so our Korean War veterans and our Vietnam veterans. It is a free trip to Washington, D.C. to see your memorial. It is a wonderful opportunity to go with other veterans, especially at this time in your life when you need to be thanked and the opportunity for people to thank you. And that's really important, that if you've served and this is an opportunity for you, that you get that information so that we can make sure that you're not forgotten, that you feel like when you came back home that nobody said thank you. Well, guess what? We're saying thank you right now.
Thank you.
We're giving you the opportunity to go back and see your memorial and to make sure that that's taken care of. And so as we move forward with the program, the number for the Veterans Museum is 378-2280. That's 378-2280. We are located in the Anderson, the old Bay of A Bank of America in Anderson at 2110 North Street. And our office hours there are usually Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. And we want to make sure that you know you can get a hold of us and talk to us, and we can get you the advocacy and the information that you need. Hey, this has been Battlefield Expressions, honoring all of our veterans, but saying thank you to our World War II. And remember.